Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Don't forget, we do have the text line open. If you want to text in, have any questions, that text number is 850-437-1620. I am the executive director of the Downtown Improvement Board. Chatted a little bit earlier about what the Downtown Improvement Board is as a special taxing district downtown to promote and support the businesses and the residents downtown, keep it safe, keep it clean, and give you a reason to come downtown and support those local businesses. And one of the things that we do each and every Saturday is the Palafox Market. Palafox Market started in 2007, and it was at that point in time a monthly farmers market that was actually run down where the Bank of Pensacola is now in a parking lot that was there at the corner of Main and Palafox, and they eventually moved it up to MLK Plaza up on Palafox Street in between Wright and Garden, right there in the median on those three blocks, and we operated out of there for 15 or 16 years. And when Mayor Reeves got in, him and I had a conversation. We had had a long wait list of vendors that had been wanting to get into the market for years. We didn't have room to put them in the park because we were at capacity with about 150 vendors each week at MLK Plaza. And so we worked with him and the city council and got an ordinance changed to where we were able to operate out of Plaza Ferdinand as an extension of the Palafox Market. We've got room for up to about 70 vendors down there, and we're steadily somewhere around 50 to 70 vendors each and every Saturday down at our second location at Plaza Ferdinand. So again, Palafox Market is every Saturday except for Mardi Gras because of the parade. We can't quite host a market while the parade's going on, but so they get 1 week off a year. And we're down there every Saturday, 9 o'clock to 2 p.m. And we've got, you know, about 200 or so vendors each and every week that are downtown, these small businesses. We like to think of it as a small business incubator. We've had several of our vendors go on to move into brick and mortar businesses, some even downtown. You look at a couple of retail stores have transitioned from being a Palafox Market vendor and getting their own storefront on Palafox. Sabai Thai on Jefferson in the bottom of Southtown used to be a Palafox Market vendor. And so we've seen some great success out of there. And again, 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock each and every Saturday, MLK Plaza to Plaza Ferdinand. You can go to our website, downtownpensacola.com, and go to the Palafox Market page. And Caitlin, who runs the Palafox Market for us and does an incredible job, she updates each week. You can go to the website, Palafox Market tab, click on the market map, and you can go on there and see where all the vendors are located in the market each week. So if you're trying to go down and get a specific thing and maybe you don't have time to, you know, stay downtown for a while, you're just trying to get something and get out, you can at least know where your vendor is going to be located that week. Each Saturday, we update that map. And you can also go on there and search the vendors. You can see what products they sell. You can see who's going to be there that week. You can also, if you ever wanted to become a vendor, you can go to our website and apply to be a vendor. You can see kind of all the rules and regulations. It's a $35 application fee. And then we have a weekly charge that we have for the event that we do each week. And those prices range anywhere from $20 a week to $40 a week, depending on what you sell. So farmers, we try and keep at the lowest rate because, again, it's a farmer's market. We do struggle to get farmers from time to time to be there just because it is such a difficult job. I know Andrew has the farmer from Santa Rosa County that comes on each month to talk about what's going on in the farming world. But it's difficult for these folks to run a farm and then get their products and come down each Saturday to sell their product. But, you know, we try and rotate our vendors in and out and get as many as we can in there. We are running a trolley now each Saturday from the North Palafox lot. So you can get from MLK Plaza down to Plaza Ferdinand. And then we also go down to a free parking lot that is down on Main Street that you can park in, park for free, a little kind of park and ride. And that's the Commandencia parking lot on Commandencia and Main Street, right across the street from Beggs and Lane Law Firm. And you can park there and jump on the trolley as well and get up to the market. So we're going to go to Traffic on the Fives with PJ, hit some commercials, and then we'll be back with attorney Troy Rafferty and talk about the Rafferty Center that just got approved last month. And so, PJ, what's going on the roads?
Taking a look at the big board, just still that hit-and-run crash at County Road 297 and 4th Avenue. That's in Cantonment. They are saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Since 1946, the Blue Angels had been known as the Navy Flight Demonstration Team. But in December of 1973, an organizational change was made, and the Blue Angels were commissioned as the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron. And while that may seem to be just a matter of semantics, its structure within the Navy is significant. The status and organizational importance is much greater as a squadron. And as a squadron, they have their own true commanding officer. While as a team, though they had a flight leader, they were under the command of the CO of NAS Pensacola. As a squadron, they would also have more support personnel assigned to them. Additionally, with the classification as a squadron, the maintenance crew's total responsibility was to maintain the Blue Angels planes. Under a team classification, the maintenance personnel could have been pulled at any time to other duties, which could have adversely affected the readiness of the team. As a squadron, they would have more authority and control over their activities. And the first commanding officer of the new squadron was Commander Tony Less. Another change made at the same time was the transition into new aircraft. While the F-4 Phantom was a spectacular jet, it was very expensive to maintain and fly. Its two engines guzzled fuel, and that was not a good trait in the midst of the 1973 energy crisis. So the Blue Angels switched to a slightly smaller single-engine aircraft, the McDonnell Douglas A-4 Skyhawk II. Though smaller than the Phantom, the impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and shorter turning radius proved to be exceptional qualities for their role as demonstration aircraft. These A-4s also required far less maintenance than the Phantoms, which allowed the Blue Angels officers and crew to spend more time helping young people interested in careers in the Navy. Recruiting was one of the primary missions given for organizing the team into a squadron. The first public performance in the new Skyhawks was on May 18th at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. Among the pilots in the 1974 season was a 29-year-old captain in the Marine Corps. He flew the number 4 slot position, and his name was John Fogg. Who'd have predicted that 20 years later, he would be selected as mayor of Pensacola? I'll be back with more after this.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
The Blue Angels are known for their breathtaking aerial performances, not for saving lives. But that's just what they did. Find out how in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit PlayPensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. We still got that text line open if you want to get in and participate with the conversation this morning. That's 850-437-1620. We had last hour Commissioner Lumen May on talking about Southern Youth Sports Association, a youth sports program that he started, I guess, 15, 16 years ago now. And one of his early supporters and friends is attorney Troy Rafferty, shareholder at Rafferty, Dominic Cunningham, and Yaffa. And we've got Troy on the line, and he has been a huge supporter of this and now has even committed $1 million to creating the Rafferty Center, an extension of this program. And so, Troy, welcome to News Radio this morning.
Thanks, Walker. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely.
Great morning.
So, Troy, you know, making such a sizable donation to a charity like this that works with kids here on the west side of the city of Pensacola, you know, it's obviously not a sudden decision that you made to give that large of a donation. What's really inspired you about Southern Youth Sports to be able to, you know, get involved at this level and see this expansion kind of come to fruition?
Well, I tell you what, Walker, when you go down to SYSA, the May Center, Legion Field on a Saturday or during the week in the evenings, and see the watch the kids playing basketball and football and enjoying the facilities and using the resources. It's just it's awe inspiring. It's needed for the community. And I can tell you this, so this whole thing started, which is kind of all these projects start in a unique way, I guess. But I was sitting talking with Coach May Lumen, and we were talking about graduation rates in Escambia County for young black males. And this was several years ago now. And we talked, and I was asking Coach, we were having a discussion about what it is the kids need. And I asked Lumen, I said, what do the kids need, Lumen? Because he is in that neighborhood. He grew up in that district. He lives in that district. He knows everybody in that district. And I said, what do they need? What do the kids need? And he just looked at me and he said, they need hope. It's that simple. They need hope. They need hope that they know that they have a community behind them, that they have the resources available, the tools necessary in order to succeed and to grow as men and women and be productive in their community. And so, you know, we looked at ways that we could try to provide hope. And one of the ways we did was through the Hope Scholarship, which is identifying young kids who early in their schooling in middle school, we identify them, and we, as long as they stay up with their grades, as long as they get into college, as long as they give back to their community, stay out of trouble, stay off drugs and alcohol, then they will have the Rafferty Hope Scholarship, which will pay for their college, $25,000 each of them. And then to expand that, we talked about the resources. And the May Center and SYSA, the Southern Youth Sports Association, has done such an amazing job over the years. They service 1,300 inner-city kids, and they tutor them, they teach them the Bible, the book, the ball, and the balance. That's the motto at SYSA, Bible, book, ball, balance. And these kids get mentorship and a safe place to go. And so, but the reach of SYSA, it needs to be expanded. They need more resources. And so we went about building the Rafferty Center. And so we were so happy to have that plan approved at the city council meeting last month. It's been a project that's been in progress for, 4 years now. And we're so excited. It looks like we're going to be breaking ground hopefully in the next few weeks. And we're just excited for the community and for the kids and just continue trying to provide the tools and the necessary hope for these children.
Yeah, I know it's wild, all the support for this program and really seeing that city council meeting happen and getting that approval for the ground lease was awesome. And just to show support in that room at that city council meeting at that time really goes to show what Southern Youth Sports and a facility like this means for that community. And we've got Troy Rafferty on the line, attorney and big supporter of Southern Youth Sports Association. We're going to get some traffic on the fives real quick, and we'll be right back, and we're going to dive into kind of what opportunities is this new building going to create. But, PJ, what's going on out there on the roads?
I-10 and 110 both looking good. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any signs of a delay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And we've got, again, Troy Rafferty on the line and talking about Southern Youth Sports Association and his, huge support that he's given, not only in time, but in, hard-earned money that he's dedicated to this program. And you're going to build a brand new facility right there next to the May Center, building the Rafferty Center, got the approval from City Council. And so what can we expect, or what is Southern Youth Sports hoping to get with this kind of expanded footprint that they'll now have and be able to offer other programs?
Yeah, we're excited about a lot of things. Number one, it's going to be a gym. It's going to be another gymnasium, so there'll be another court, another basketball court, and then the classrooms around it for mentoring and for helping kids prep for their standardized tests, for the SAT, whatever standardized exams they have. Have all sorts of outreach programs, and really more than anything, Walker, we take for granted a lot of times, and I certainly did as a kid. At the end of the day, when the school bell rang, that was always a sound of happiness and joy for me, because I knew I had a home to go to. I knew I had parents that were going to be there. I knew that I had a supportive community. For a lot of kids, the sound of that school bell at the end of the day is not a sound of joy. It's a sound of horror, because they don't have a home to go to. They don't know where they're going. They don't know that there's no food in the refrigerator or in the house. This is the plan is to give these kids a place to go, a safe place, and a place they can grow, and that provides them talent or provides them with the tools necessary to succeed. And we're just excited about it, Walker. Yeah. And I'm excited for the community. And I'm appreciative of all the mayor, of all the city council, Councilman Wiggins, of everybody who's played such a large part. And thank you to all the volunteers and all of the hard workers over at SYSA.
All right. And I know that, we had talked a little bit about you coming on this morning. You wanted to have a little bit of a call to action if people wanted to get involved or learn more about Southern Youth Sports Association or maybe give, to this program to support it monetarily. How can folks find out more about this organization?
Walker, thank you for bringing that up, because we need that. And whatever people can give to help, we want to encourage community participation. We want everybody to be involved in this. So visit us at SYSA Tigers, SYSATigers.org. And there's opportunities in there. Listen, we need help in every facet. And so if, whether you can give your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever it is you can give, this is a worthwhile program for the children, and I hope everybody will visit us at that website, SYSATigers.org.
All right, awesome. Well, Troy, I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning and spending some time talking to us, and I hope you have a great 4th of July weekend, and hopefully see you around town soon.
Thanks, Walker. Thanks for all the great work you do around town. Appreciate
Thanks.
You.
All right, take care. So, again, really awesome awesome charity here with Southern Youth Sports Association. A lot of work they do with over, you know, close to 1,000, if not over 1,000 children that participate in that sports program. They got the vote for a ground lease to build this, you know, $3 million facility with Troy Rafferty and family coming in with $1 million of that. And they found some state money to support that. They found some other donors that have come in and helped get them to that $3 million. And I guess they'll be breaking ground and start building over there on what Commissioner May have heard him say before, the best side is the west side, and putting in the Rafferty Center right there next to the Mays Center at Legion Field. So keep your eyes out for that. And I've been down a couple times. It is a cool thing to see on Saturdays with when they're in action and playing games and got basketball inside, dance classes going on, football out on the football field. So they are always busy over there at Legion Field. But we'll head to commercial break, and we will be back with you in a few minutes.
Chris Foster. Members of the House are debating the Republicans' so-called One Big Beautiful Bill ahead of a final vote expected this morning.
We've pushed this bill about as far toward perfection as our process allows.
California Republican Tim McClintock. The bill includes tax cuts and cuts to Medicaid and food assistance programs.
People will suffer. People will die. And it will be at the hands of Republicans who vote yes.
Rhode Island Democrat Gabe Amo. Sean Diddy Combs is denied bail, found guilty on 2 of 5 charges.
Part of that verdict are findings of guilt on 2 counts of transportation for prostitution, each carrying 10 years in prison. Next week, the lawyers on both sides will discuss with the judge when that sentencing will happen.
Fox's Grinnell Scott in New York City. 15 people are hurt, some critically, in a skydiving plane crash in New Jersey. The pilot had reported engine trouble after takeoff. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. 75 right now. We've got sunshine on a beautiful Thursday morning. Two developers have been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for allegedly polluting the Mulad Bayou.
I hate it. And my neighbors all hate it.
This comes after residents, including Marcia Murray out there, expressed concerns, and they say sediment runoff has now discolored the water and killed off wildlife. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection issued fines of more than $264,000 between two developers, Kip Walker of Hanley Holdings. He was fined $197,000, also arrested and charged with not obtaining a permit from the DEP. Thomas Cornelison with Furlong Lots and Developments was also fined over $67,000 related to that case. Deputies in Santa Rosa County have detained several men after a drive-by shooting in East Milton. An incident is being called a drug deal gone bad. This happened at a home on Highway 87. Officials say 5 men were driving to a home to purchase drugs when a suspect attempted to rob them and started shooting. The men then opened fire on that suspect and drove away. They were stopped by deputies nearby at a Piggly Wiggly grocery store. The suspect was later detained after barricading himself inside of the home. Officials say nobody was hurt and a firearm was recovered. Well, new Florida speeding laws could cost you a lot, including possibly prison time.
Florida's new super speeder law makes certain speeds a criminal offense. The new law will punish motorists who drive 50 miles per hour or more over the posted speed limit, or 100 miles per hour on any roadway. Drivers in violation can face imprisonment for up to 30 days for the first offense. The second conviction can lead to a 90-day imprisonment or a $1,000 fine, or both. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Officials with the Gulf of America Homeland Security Task Force say they've arrested an illegal Russian immigrant that tried to purchase a gun in Baldwin County. The man reportedly made multiple attempts to purchase the firearm before he was taken into custody on Wednesday. Florida's new immigrant detention center may already be getting close to filling up. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer said plans were in place to check hundreds of criminal illegal aliens into the Alligator Alcatraz facility as of last night. The facility was built to hold up to 5,000 detainees. Democrat Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not supportive of the facility. She called it a waste of money and said it would probably only hold half of the number that had been said. A Jacksonville lawmaker trying to stop plans from building an immigrant detention facility in northeast Florida now. Democrat State Representative Angie Nixon voicing displeasure at plans to build a facility at Camp Blanding. Despite those protests, though, plans to build the center are moving forward. Governor Ron DeSantis said construction could start as soon as next week. It's 6:35, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks, David. Just taking a look at one spot right now, Beulah Road, just north of 9 Mile. Looks like a little congestion is building there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
We are going to be seeing temperatures warming up this afternoon near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. On Friday, 20% chance of rain for your 4th of July, but most of us looking nice and sunny, high near 94. By Friday evening, we will have temperatures dropping near 76, should look decent for fireworks. Heading into your Saturday, plenty of sunshine with a 30% chance of a pop-up shower, high near 94 degrees. Sagaca, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is sunny right now, 74 degrees in Pensacola. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air today, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Tomorrow is the Free Pensacola Fireworks, presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. At 7:30, be at Community Maritime Park for Pensacola Symphony's Free Sparks and Stars concert, sponsored by Peter Muget and Pensacola State College. You can also listen to the symphony broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks will be synchronized to the music presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and enjoy the 4th of July.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. We still got that text line open. If you want to get involved with this conversation going on this morning, you can text in at 850-437-1620. We've got some improvements coming out to Pensacola Beach, and I wish I would have known to ask Mike Burns with the Santa Rosa Island Authority about this yesterday, but we've got some upgrades coming to the Pensacola Beach crosswalks. And so if you're heading out to the beach this weekend for the fireworks show tomorrow night that they're having at Quietwater Beach at 9 o'clock p.m., or you're going out to Blue Angels Air Show next week, which starts again Wednesday with Breakfast with the Blues there at 8 o'clock at Casino Beach, and then they'll have some rehearsals on Thursday, Friday, with the main show being next Saturday. But you might notice that there's some new changes happening along the east end of the beach. The Escambia County Public Works has launched a brand new infrastructure project that's aimed at improving pedestrian safety. So specifically for people crossing Pensacola Beach Road after sunset, starting this month, they'll be putting in 49 new solar-powered integrated crosswalks from Avenida 11 all the way down to Avenida 23. These are those motion-triggered and built to flash lights directly in the line of sight of the drivers. There's a few of them there as you come through to pull into the Casino Beach parking lot area where folks might be crossing to go to Sidelines or Flounders in that area, but we're going to have 49 new ones from Avenida 11 all the way down to 23. And it's going to warn the drivers that someone's trying to cross the street. And at night, you know, there may not be enough light to see folks that are running across the street. And if you've ever tried to cross out there during the busy season, you know, it can be extremely dangerous if people aren't paying attention or if traffic's backed up because of the beach traffic light. So that'll be a nice improvement, and they're meant to change, and they're also turtle friendly, so don't be too worried. The turtles will also appreciate them using that dimmer kind of yellow light that they've got. The cost of the project is $169,000, and the Santa Rosa Island Authority is covering $75,000 of that, and so it's going to be a huge safety benefit out there on the beach, especially with 4th of July going on, Blue Angels, people trying to cram in one more trip to the beach before they go back to school in the middle of August or towards Labor Day. This will be a good addition out to the beach. And don't forget, they've also got the trolley system running all summer. Mike Burns talked about how they've got four new trolleys that they've added to the summer schedule. And so those are hop on, hop off. You can head to the Santa Rosa Island Authority website to see what those schedules are for the trolleys that run out there. And I've been out at the beach. I've got cousins that'll come in town for the Blue Angels every few years or for 4th of July. And we'll stay out at the beach and we use those trolleys. They work great. They've got some trackers on there, so on those websites you can see where the trolleys are and know when to kind of go out to the stop if you're staying at a place that might be close to one of the pickup or drop off points. So make sure to utilize that public amenity that we've got running this summer. And again, having four more buses out there, you got some more opportunities to get on the bus and maybe not have to wait as long. So we're going to head over to David Wayne in the newsroom. What do we got coming up in news, David?
Well, good morning. We'll talk a little bit here in just a little while about some pollution at the Mulad Bayou and developers who are facing some big fines for that. But taking a look at some of our national headlines today, the Pentagon saying Iran's nuclear program has been set back close to 2 years after the U.S. strikes. Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell giving that assessment yesterday. It's a more optimistic outlook than what UN inspectors have said. The U.S. military said three key nuclear sites were significantly damaged by the bunker buster bombs and Tomahawk missiles. Say that three times fast. The Wisconsin Supreme Court stopping a state abortion ban. The 1849 near total ban had technically retaken effect after the Supreme Court overturned overturned federal abortion rights. However, abortion providers in the state resumed that procedure in 2023 after a judge ruled the ban had been superseded by a more recent law. Police say a congressional intern was killed in Washington, D.C. in a shooting earlier this week. Eric Tarpinian Jashim, I hope I'm saying that correctly. He was struck by gunfire when multiple suspects opened fire on a group of people Monday. Apparently, he was an intern for Republican Representative Ron Estes of Kansas. And also, the big news coming out of yesterday was Sean Diddy Combs apparently found not guilty on the most serious charges, the racketeering and that, but was found guilty on traveling to engage in prostitution. But he will also, this coming out last night, he'll remain in jail. He's been denied bond.
All right. Thanks, David. Taking a quick look at traffic, I-10 and 110 are both looking good. If you are on US 98 east or westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly. Not showing any signs of delay in Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
So several years ago, my wife and I were planning on replacing our then many years old Dodge Grand Caravan, and we thought we wanted to buy a Honda Odyssey, but as is often our practice, we wanted to test drive one of the type we wanted to buy before we needed to buy it, about 6 months ahead of time, to make sure that when time came to really find the deal we wanted, that we were looking for the right kind of car. Couldn't find one. Nobody had one that we could drive. We found one at Frontier Motors. We called it our unicorn. It actually happened to be the color we wanted as well. But again, we didn't want one for another 6 months. We drove it. We loved it. That's fine. We were getting ready to go. And Calvin, our sales guy, said, "Do you want to look at the price?" I'm like, "Well, fine." "Oh, well, that's a good price. Can you come down a little bit?" "Sure." "Can you give us a day? Because we're not buying a car." "Sure." We thought about it a day later. "Can you come down just a little bit more?" "Sure." "Can we buy it?" I mean, that's how easy it was for us to buy this car. And again, we just had to because it was such low mileage. It was a year old with like 13,000 miles and the price was fantastic. We had to buy it. It would have been dumb of us to wait because they have great selection. That's what brought us to Frontier and because the process was so easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Great Milton Duck Race is Friday at the Milton Downtown Bridge starting at 5 o'clock. Proceeds benefit the community missions of the crew of Blackwater Pirates. Locations to get your ducks is at blackwaterpirates.com. Celebrate America Friday night at the Community Maritime Park Amphitheater with the Pensacola Symphony beginning at 7:30, followed by the Pensacola 4th of July fireworks show over the bay. Get all the details at newsradio1620.com. Happy 4th of July.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. Welcome back, and it is July 3rd. We're one day away from everyone's favorite holiday, 4th of July. We're now going to dive into a topic that maybe doesn't always make the front page, but certainly touches thousands of lives right here in Escambia County every day, and that's access to health care. One organization that's been a lifeline for low-income, uninsured, and underinsured folks in our community is Community Health Northwest Florida. You might know them as the former Escambia County Clinics. They've got more than a dozen locations in the area and serve everyone from children to seniors to veterans. But some changes coming out of Washington with this big, beautiful bill that the House is now debating on the floor, making its way through Congress, could threaten the safety net that they've spent decades building. And with us this morning and to explain some of these impacts that could affect our local area is the CEO of Community Health Northwest Florida, Chandra Smiley. Chandra, thanks for being on this morning.
Good morning, Walker. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you know, just to kind of get things started, if people maybe aren't familiar with Community Health Northwest Florida, who do you serve and what all do you do?
Yeah, well, Community Health Northwest Florida is a federally qualified health center. We've been in the area for over 30 years. We take care of residents residing in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. And as of 2024, we were taking care of close to 55,000 residents of the two counties. We have pediatric services, primary care services, dental, pharmacy, behavioral health and wellness, and other wraparound services to support our patients.
Wow. And you said how many folks are y'all are serving on an annual basis right now?
It's close to 55,000.
Wow. And does that seem to meet the demand of who y'all could serve, or there may be opportunities out there where you'd be able to serve more individuals that aren't able to access the care that y'all provide?
At 55,000 is certainly a large number of patients to take care of, but there really is far greater need in our community to reach out and serve more. So we're always looking at ways in which we can increase access and make our services available to all of our residents.
Right. So let's turn a little bit now to this federal legislation, the big, beautiful bill that right now the House is debating on the floor. It's already cleared the Senate this week, and it's got some big changes to federal entitlement programs like Medicaid, which even some Republicans have been pushing back on President Trump with this proposal. And so what are you really looking at most closely to what may, if this ends up, you know, going through Congress now and getting signed by the president, what are you looking at that might impact what Community Health Northwest Florida is doing and our residents here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County?
So for Medicaid, about 53% of our patients are enrolled in Medicaid. So cuts in Medicaid would impact us. And would those patients roll into other health plans, or would they roll over into uninsured? Right now, about 20% of our patients are uninsured. So, you know, our cost per medical visit is about $320. And so any cuts in any funding, I mean, we're just, you know, covering ourselves right now. So any cuts certainly impact our ability to continue to expand and increase access. I'll say, though, from a state level, Florida was not one of the states that expanded Medicaid. And at the end of the public health emergency, there were about 1 million Floridians that rolled off the Medicaid rosters that had gained access during those COVID years. So we've already seen, like, one, we never expanded, two, a million rolled off at the end of the public health emergency, and three, Florida went through a redetermination in which anyone on Medicaid had to reapply. So we've seen some cuts already. I do think Florida's still going to feel it. But it's not going to be as devastating as perhaps some of those states that had expanded Medicaid.
Gotcha. So, you know, if this goes through, how many patients do you estimate this could affect here locally, and what happens when someone might lose coverage but still needs care? What happens then?
So from a state perspective, I think in the FQHC world, we're estimating a little over 500,000 that may come off the Medicaid rolls as a result of these cuts. The other thing that we're really looking at is the cuts in the Affordable Care. For us, we ran some just some numbers. If those cuts went through, we would be looking at several thousand patients that would roll off those plans, and financially that impact would be about $850,000 to us. So, you know, the reimbursements are getting tighter and tighter. The need for us continues to grow, and certainly we're looking at how can we leverage partnerships, how can we leverage the resources that we do have to meet the need. We're certainly not in the business of turning people away, and we're committed to doing what we can to stay here and to continue to provide those much needed services for our residents.
Great. Well, let's real quick, let's go to PJ with traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Walker. This report's brought to you by Aleve. Traffic and body pain can slow you down, but don't let the pain stop you. With just one pill, Aleve provides up to 12 hours of pain relief, so you can keep moving. Use as directed. I-10 and 110 both still looking good. If you are on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking clear as well. Mobile Highway, clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, and this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. We're on the line with Chandra Smiley, the CEO of Community Health Northwest Florida, and talking about what this the big, beautiful bill, if passed through Congress, as they're debating on the House floor now and signed by the president, could affect healthcare here in the area. You know, we've talked about what might get cut, what we might struggle with as your organization giving care in the community, but what are some of the things that maybe you're looking at over the next 6 or 12 months where you see opportunity for growth for what services you provide?
Well, one of the things that we've done for the past couple of summers is we've taken our mobile medical unit out and we partnered with area housing, and we've gone into area housing communities to do, you know, all the, you know, kids getting ready to go back to school, even though it's still summer. Before you know it, we'll be right into that school year, and making sure kids have those wellness exams done. If they need vaccinations, they sure that they're caught up on that. Certainly making sure that the parents of our children are healthy. So just ways in which we can uniquely position ourselves to utilize our mobile units and our partnerships to really bring the services to the community. Our brick and mortar, we've got about 19 sites throughout Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, but sometimes transportation is a challenge for our patients, and looking at ways that we could, you know, address that potential barrier to care.
All right. And you know, if folks are listening and maybe they're new to the area or they're looking for, you know, family doctor or something like that, you don't just serve folks that are underinsured or low income. You serve everybody in the community, and it also helps you provide maybe more services to those that are underinsured or not insured if you have, you know, fully insured patients that come in the door, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we take care of patients with United Healthcare, Blue Cross Blue Shield, any of those commercial payers we have contracts with, and certainly billing out for those services and the funds that we receive from that helps to offset the charity care that we provide. We also receive funding from our county commissions, both in Escambia and the Santa Rosa counties, and we're able to utilize those funds for a federal low-income pool match that pulls additional funds into the community that helps to offset that charity care. And certainly the hospitals that created us over 30 years ago, Baptist and Sacred, both contribute out of their community benefit grant dollars to offer up some additional support to offset the uninsured. So, again, we take care of anybody who crosses the thresholds of our clinics, and whether you have insurance or not, we want to be here to take care of.
Great.
Take care of you.
Well, where can we find you? Where are you located? And just give people an opportunity to maybe go and learn more about Community Health Northwest Florida and where they could find you.
Our website is healthcarewithinreach.org. You can go there, and it'll list all of the different locations and providers. Our main site is at 2315 West Jackson Street. It's the old Allie and Nestra Elementary School that we renovated. And we've got primary care, women's care, OB services, pharmacy, and pediatric care at that main site. But you can go on the website and see all the locations, and certainly reach out and give us a holler, and we'll make an appointment for you.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on this morning, Chandra. And we'll be looking for you out in the community. We're going to head to commercial break, and we'll be back with Vice President of Pensacola City Council, Allison Patton.